Hello, this is Outlook Magazine out of the Mid-America Union Territory, which consists of 9 states and San Juan County. Did you know that? We have a county in San Juan. We are taking you inside the magazine by interviewing the authors of each month's featured stories. The January issue will focus on creating meaningful spiritual life through fellowship and community. Two contributors to the magazine are Tim Floyd, the Youth and Young Adult Director for one of Mid-America Union's 6 conferences, the Kansas-Nebraska Conference. Thank you for joining us, Tim.
Thank you.
Well, I have known you through pictures and some events and things like that, but it's nice to sit down with you today and get a little more in-depth understanding of what all you do. How long have you served as a youth and young adult leader for Kansas-Nebraska?
I came to Kansas-Nebraska in 2013. I was working at a local church in Kansas City at that point. I moved up to the conference office in 2016. So I've been in my current position with the conference office from January 2016 until today.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I want to just say thank you on behalf of Mid-America Union for all that you do. You have a big responsibility as you are responsible for our youth and young adults. And may the Lord continue to bless your efforts as you continue in the work of the church.
Thank you.
When you are out and about, I'm sure you get questions all the time. What always seems to get asked of you?
The biggest thing I hear from the people that I interact with, and you have to understand, I interact with a variety of members from the kids that I serve through my events and programs and the department that I work with, to the pastors that I mentor, to the parents and grandparents in the membership themselves, that are concerned about their youth or their young adults that are a part of what I do. So I hear different things from different age groups. From the kids, what I hear seems like what I hear the most is that they want to be known, they want to be understood, they want to be seen as an individual and to not just be another number in, you know, in a membership book, but to be known individually. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting because they are all unique and individual, and they're all fascinating in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy that aspect of trying to fulfill that need. I want to be known. Great, because I want to know you. When I'm talking with the pastors, the thing that I hear the most is the desire for resources and tools to be successful serving the youth, asking questions, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, about, do you have anything on this subject, or do you know where I could find something about this? And so a lot of my job when it comes to the pastors is basically a resource coordinator, helping them get connected with things to be successful. The things that I hear most from the older generations about their kids or grandkids usually end up being things like, I'm concerned, I care about, I want to see them succeed, what are we doing to help? Like those types of questions or those types of responses that I get more often.
Yeah, that just brings to light, you serve a variety of audiences. You have the youth, you have pastors, you have parents and grandparents. So that role, you have a great deal of people to answer to, huh?
That's true.
Well, what inspires you? Why did you get into youth ministry or pastoral ministry? And how do you stay inspired to continue when you have to be accountable to all of these audiences?
Well, I think humans in general are fascinating. Being a human myself my entire life, I have found that we're just all unique, and what makes us tick is so fascinating. And the things that interest or drive my curiosity are very different from other people's. And so getting to know people is very rewarding. And sometimes you could spend your whole life with a person and not really know them very well. And so sometimes getting to know what makes somebody tick is really fun. And in ministry, you get to add value to that. You get to understand where people are coming from and why they respond the way that they do. I'm often reminded of an Abraham Lincoln quote where he says, I don't like that man. I must get to know him better. And I think that to me in pastoral ministry is incredibly relevant, because there are times where people get under your skin. You know, sheep have teeth, and sometimes you have to be reminded that they're humans that you're working with. And the more involved you get in ministry, the more you have to understand, I must get to know that person better. And sometimes it's hard and you don't want to get to know them. You want to stay in that, I'd rather just not like that person or not understand them any better. But I've found the more I understand people, the more I understand what makes them tick, the more interested I become in the ministry of it themselves. And I get that, what I believe is a Christ-like passion for my fellow humans and to understand them better and to serve them better and to help make their lives a little more meaningful.
So it's the people.
The
it's
people, definitely, the people. Yeah.
But I like what you said, and then with ministry, it adds value.
Yeah.
And so that really speaks to what all of us in ministry should appreciate, the value that Christ brings to what we do in terms of other work, where the value may be a whole multitude of other things.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Well, you're featured in the January edition of Outlook, and you wrote a piece about growing young. And when I thought about that, I said, wow, did you find the Fountain of Youth, or what's going on here? What is growing young? Can you explain that to us?
So growing young is really a learning journey. And we describe it as a learning journey because you never really reach this destination of knowing everything. And when it comes to understanding what keeps people around and active in a church, it is a journey, and it's something we have to keep learning and growing from. The concept behind growing young, it came from an original publication, an original research that Fuller Theological Seminary's Fuller Youth Institute did this research with Kara Powell, Jake Mulder, and Brad Griffin. They did this research on the retention issue of youth and young adults. But even more than that, they kind of accepted this same concept that, man, we're losing them. We get that. But what about these churches that are keeping them? What are they doing? What are the common themes that emerge from churches that keep, and not just numerically, but they keep them active in their local church? What are they doing right? And so the focus of the book is not negative. I mean, there's a couple of pages at the beginning where it talks about, yeah, we're losing them and it's awful. But the majority of the book is, what can we do right? What are we focusing on that keeps people around and keeps them active in their local church? So growing young, the definition for that is basically churches that are reaching and retaining and engaging young people, which then brings up the overall vitality of the local church. And so the concept at its heart is retention, but even more than that, it's about changing church culture. It's about making churches places that are conducive to keeping people in the first place, not necessarily controlling a situation after they've left or trying to bring them back, but making them places that they never want to leave in the first place.
Well, thank you. That sounds interesting, because it's, you know, when we talk about church, I don't know, is there a biblical mandate on what a church is supposed to be?
As people. Church is people.
Church is people, right? It's
church is people.
It's
people,
not the four walls. Or
people looking to God.
Right. So, but we still have this issue now, it seems like, and then the data that you showed in your piece shows that younger generations are leaving in bigger numbers. And before I get to that, when we say younger, what number are we talking about? What age groups are we talking about?
Well, the target age range in this research is the high school and young adult age range, what we would typically call Gen Z and millennial age groups. For the most part, those are the developmentally in their brains and in their choices and decisions. That's the age group where they're starting to become independent. They're starting to make decisions for themselves. They're abandoning an inherited faith and finding their own. And so in that process, they're making decisions about who they want to be and what sort of people they want to surround themselves with and what sort of views they want to assimilate into themselves. And so it's at that point that something is happening where they're leaving the church. Sometimes it's an issue you can put your finger on and say, this is the cause for that person leaving. But more often than not, it almost feels like more of a death by paper cuts, that they're leaving the church because of a variety of issues that just seem to finally, they just cave to it. And sometimes they don't even intentionally leave. It's just they become so drawn to other things or interested in life or just busy. Busy is such a curse for younger generations and myself as well. We become obsessed with being busy. And then sometimes when you're busy, you end up inadvertently saying no to other things because you're just too busy. And sometimes church is one of those things.
That's true. It could be just as simple as that. We live in a world where there's always something to do. There's always somebody to see. And depending on your interest level and where your church is at, that may be one of the things that drops off the list.
That's true.
So That issue with generations leaving in bigger numbers, when you look at these numbers, you must cringe a little bit because we're part of the Seventh-day Adventist faith. Yeah. This is something that's true among all faiths, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's not something that's just an issue for Adventists. All of Christianity is suffering from the same issue. In fact, there's data out there from almost every denomination in the United States and across the world that says that there is a hemorrhaging of our younger generations. And in, it goes across genders, it goes across generations. In some cases, it goes across the financial differences amongst us. It goes across racial breakdowns and all kinds of barriers that we would normally say this is the age group, but it's everywhere and it's in every denomination. It's not just us. Mm.
So in your article, it's all not doom and gloom. There's hope.
There is hope.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There is hope. And so there's six areas that were common among churches that are growing young. And I think they call them bright spots. And there are two that I would like you to touch on a little bit for us. Number four was fuel a warm community instead of focusing on cool worship or programs. Aim for warm peer and intergenerational friendships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think I want to say too from the beginning that these don't have to be in any kind of order. There's no progression of the six core characteristics. These are just common themes that emerged as they were studying these churches, where they identified these churches that were growing, and they were specifically growing in the younger generation category. But it's not even really just about the younger generations. More often than not, the cases where you have churches that have done it right, well, you know, I put quotes around that, done it right. But when you are studying churches that are doing it right, that are keeping the younger generations, the overall vitality of that church has grown tremendously. And the data shows that when you have the younger generations, they actually bring up the level of warmth and community and belonging and identity and all the great things that make these churches stand out. It's the younger generations that help to feed and foster that in a local church. And so while we are talking about young adult and youth retention, the bigger picture is it's about making our churches better places. And so when we talk about, you know, all of these issues, it's not that it's a young adult ministry specifically to target young adults. It's about making our churches just better at being churches. Things like leadership, things like emphasizing our younger generation, sure. But fueling warm community, man, who doesn't want a church that you walk into and you just feel like you're home? I mean, that goes across a generational spectrum. It's not just the youth and young adults that are drawn to that. It's everybody. Everybody wants to feel like they're home at a church. And so when you walk in the door, it's more than just smiles and, you know, friendly greeters. It's people that you feel like are there for you, people that you feel like identify with you, people who have a true sense of community. And it's authentic. It's not forced. It just comes naturally to them. Mm-hmm. So the warmth is a really cool one. It's not about programs. It's about the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to work with a pastor who said, put people before programs.
Yeah,
always
for
remember
sure.
That.
For sure.
Remember that. Well, we have a number of rural churches within our territory. So this sounds like something any size church could work on, regardless if they are rural or urban. And it's not really even about money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is just something that you inherently just need to focus on. How can we do better relationally,
yeah,
with those
congregations? Exactly. And when you look at the data, for example, the nurture and retention study that our church started in, I think it was 1964, looking at why people are leaving the Adventist church and what reasons they gave for why they left. The majority of the reasons were relational issues. The majority were things like people weren't there for me, or I feel like I'm judged, or, you know, but they all come back to almost like these six core themes from the growing young. Like you could almost split these out and say, these are relational issues. These are human, you know, relational breakdown that happens. And I've talked with churches who are out in rural communities and they said, man, I don't even have any youth or young adults. Why do I need to buy into this? And it's like, well don't you want to put Jesus as the core of who you are? Well, absolutely. Well, don't you want to have people walk through your doors and feel like they're home? Well, yeah, of course. Don't you want to look out for the community around you? Well, yeah. Like, well, then this is for you. Like, this is for everybody. It's not, again, it's not just a youth or young adult ministry. It's church discipleship. Mm-hmm. It's about making these rural or city locations places that people want to be.
Well, that's great, because and we're not going to touch on all six, because
sure,
we want you to read the article. We want you to go and read his article in the January issue of Outlook. So, but we'll touch on one more. The other common theme that came out was being the best neighbor. Mm-hmm. Instead of condemning the world outside of our walls, enable young people to neighbor well locally and globally. Mm-hmm. Can you touch on that one?
Well, a lot of times when we talk about churches and what are you doing for your community, a lot of people think, well, I give to ADRA or I help out with the local community service thing. So, you know, that's enough. But the data shows that you need more. You need to care about it yourself. One of the churches that we have in our study in Kansas, Nebraska, they took the church assessment and they realized, man, we're really suffering in the whole neighboring our communities well. Like, we're not doing that very well. We're not really doing a good job meeting the needs of the people in our own neighborhood. Like, we make assumptions about the people in our neighborhood instead of actually going to them and saying, what do you need? How can I serve you? And you live right across the street. What's going on in your life? And so this church in particular, they bought a home across the street from the church, and they're converting it into a daycare service, a free daycare service, where their members who have an educational background are getting certified to make and licensed to make it an actual free resource to their community because they identified that as a genuine need instead of assuming what they needed was steps to Christ in their door or, you know, something like that, which are great ministries. But they actually went to the people in their community and said, how can we serve you best? And when they did that, they found out, man, these people need childcare so that their kids can grow up in a safer environment than they currently are. So it's things like that, that neighboring well means that you have people in your church that look like the people in your community, whether it's racially or gender or financially, whatever it is, that the church is meeting the needs of the community around it. And even more than that, it's a global thing that we have a responsibility to not only care for our neighborhood, but the larger human context. And so it's a little self-sacrificing, it's a little bit of humility, it's a little bit of generosity, like all these issues kind of come together to say, am I here for the people? Is my church here for more than feeding the sheep? Or are we going out and looking for more sheep? Are we a service to our community? Are we a resource to those who live across the street? Or are we just that building on the corner that's there odd times of the week?
It really sounds like a way of Christ asking us to empty ourselves,
yeah.
So that he can fill us to be a blessing to those in our communities and our churches.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, we don't have time to address all six bright spots, like I said, but I think you've given us a good insight look into what people can expect in your article. It's a great piece. We hope that you pick up your Outlook issue to check it out, or go online at outlookmag.org. And then we'll probably be doing some things on social media as well. But before we leave, are there any resources or websites that our listeners should check out? Anything you want them, do you think that would help them on this journey?
I think the best thing that we can do is talk to the people that are in your own congregation. One of the things in our Growing Young research is this phrase, tell me more, and that leadership begins with listening, and we should be listening more than we're talking. And I know I'm talking a lot now instead of listening, but that's a podcast.
You're good.
But we should take on a posture of listening, that ratio of two ears to one mouth, that in our own churches and our congregations, we should be listening across the generational spectrum to say, what's going on in your life? And that's empathy. That's one of the other core characteristics, is these churches empathize with all generations. They listen. They feel for the people because they've spent time getting into their hearts and they know where they're coming from. And I think listening is a huge part. So I think for any local church, the best resource is to talk to the people in your own church to say, what are you going through? How can I best serve you? And sometimes it is instead of telling them where they're wrong, to say, follow-up question, tell me more about that. Tell me more about what's going on. Help me understand where you're coming from. I think the people are the best resources for our churches. And if you want tangible resources, the book Growing Young is fantastic. I can't encourage people to get it enough and read it and become conversant in the issues as well as solutions that we've found to help make churches better. You can get it at the ABC, you can get it at AdventSource, like it's all over. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. But get the book. There's also growingyoungadventist.org is our current website, where we've got some blogs and success stories and case studies of churches that are thriving because they started implementing these changes. And again, it's not about programs, it's about making churches places people want to be. And that's a heart issue, and it has to start with me. So really become aware of what's going on around you and the people in your congregation, and be as equipped as you can to help the people in your church.
Great. Well, some of those resources we'll place on our website, and you can get those there at outlookmag.org. Do you have any other Growing Young summits scheduled or coming up? Or if someone wants to schedule that with you, is that something you offer?
We've completed our two summits that we had set out to do. We did a summit in October of 2017 in the Kansas City area, and then we did another one just this last October, November, up in Minnesota, in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And our goal was to do two summits regionally across the Mid-America Union where people could come and learn and then take some tools back to their local congregations. Now what we're doing is we're trying to transition more toward individual church care. So if we have a church that's interested in learning more, we've got a couple of people throughout the Mid-America Union, myself, Pastor Gua and Pastor Mark are also certified trainer speakers like myself, and we're more than willing to come in and do a weekend seminar or just an afternoon sermon or whatever the churches need to help them develop an action plan, develop change for their congregation. So more of a individual local care now is what we're focusing on.
That's great. Sounds great. Well, you heard it first. If you want to book Tim, he's going on tour in 2020. No. But we thank you for all that you're doing, and this sounds like a great resource for our churches and our membership. And we just want to pray that the Lord continue to bless you with this work. And why don't you close us out with prayer?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for our entire church, both the young and the old. Thank you for coming to this earth and showing us how to live and giving us a challenge to love and live the way that you did. Help us to be the best congregations that we can, not just for our current members, but for the world around us. May we be truly salt and light to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. That was Tim Floyd from Kansas-Nebraska Conference, the Youth and Young Adult Director. I hope you will give his article a read in the January issue of Outlook, or visit us at outlookmag.org. You can visit us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook as well, at outlookmag. And we would love to hear your comments on Tim's article. You can just leave your comments in our Facebook feed. Thank you so much. And now we will move on to our next author who is featured in our January magazine. Our next featured author in the January issue of Outlook is Rachel Ashworth from the Peace Point Chapel in Sikeston, Missouri. She has been a blogger on the outlookmag.org website for several years and focuses on topics related to home, church, school, and on the little businesses that go into both. You can follow her blog at outlookmag.org, but for now, let's discuss her most recent article, Faith and Fellowship: What's the Best Way to Create a Healthy Church Community? Hello, Rachel. Thank you for joining us today on the Outlook Magazine podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, so we enjoy your blog on Outlook Mag, and now you're featured in the January issue, and you seem like you really have a sense for the needs of families when I read your blog post on Outlook Mag. Where does that come from?
Well, I guess the ideas and the ongoing things that I discuss come from my own needs of my own family and those closest to me that I see on a regular basis. Families all look different, and they have different seasons. When I had young kids, I needed support in that I needed to be in a church where there were existing programs that I did not teach. That was my need at that time. When I was new in a strange place, I needed friendship and fellowship like never before. So did my kids. So a church with a lot of kids, a lot of ministries like that was our need. I think it gets down to getting to know the people in your church. If you live in the same city, you may share the same needs. You may go to the same places. And that's really where it is. I think if you get wind of a disaster, a layoff, a scary diagnosis, you get a feel of what people need when you hear that. And I think it's okay to reach out to them. And some, you know, you can guess what they need or you can ask them. So there's that.
You do have a variety of topics that you address in your blog, everything from just home life to school and then the church. And this article is specifically about creating a healthy church community. And in your article, you say you are part of a small church.
What's the weekly attendance, you would say, of your church?
So our average attendance at Peace Point Chapel is in the low 20s.
Okay.
And our average goes down when we have an out-of-town event, specifically like Pathfinders, because a lot of our group is these young families with these kids that leave for those events. So on a regular Sabbath morning, you would usually find about 3 to 4 young families with children, a handful of adults, and we're often outnumbered by the kids. But by percentage, if everyone attends that we're looking or that we're expecting to attend, it's about 50% under 18, so lots of kids. 28% are 30 to 44, and 22% would be 59 and up.
Okay.
Or 60, yeah.
So you have a very diverse demographic in your church, even though it's about 20 that's in weekly attendance.
We do, yeah.
Well, that's good. That's pretty good. Most of the churches in Mid-America Union are rural. So I'm happy to see from your article that doesn't mean that they have to be lifeless, which it sounds like your church is full of life and it has different age groups in it. You share in your article. And go ahead.
Well, in the past, this church has been lifeless. And so I feel like a rural church, they can fall into that. But when your church becomes lifeless, it'll die. So you have to change something about that. And if the church dies, that doesn't mean that people die spiritually, but it means that your ministry is over. And that's sad, I think, for any Christian. So that's our goal. Keep changing, keep moving, keep it alive. That's important.
Those are some great words to live by. When it comes to biblical fellowship, you mentioned in the article, L-O-V-E is the trend. You say it's not the hottest coffee shop, the newest Bible study guide, or theme potluck. Just eating with other people creates bonds and helps us understand each other. Curating experiences that will reach the needs of your congregation while also serving the community. Break that down for us a little bit. That's very insightful.
Well, to be quite honest, I've gotten the L-O-V-E love thing wrong for years. But actually, it's inspiration from others in my community that has really woken me up in this way, is serving others. As a girl that grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I thought I could only reach out through Seventh-day Adventist avenues. I thought, if there's a need in my community, well, our church needs to do a ministry. And that's not true at all. We can partner with other faiths. We can partner with other groups. We can partner with organizations in our community to spread the love of Christ. And we can put on a shirt that has our Pathfinder Club or our church name and let them know who we are. But the love of God, that is the ministry. That is the outreach.
Partnerships. That's a good point as well. One thing I know about small churches is that pastors come and go, and so members have to keep that fire burning. Do you all experience burnout? How do you alleviate that?
Well, I think burnout occurs in everything we do in life. If you wake up at the same time every day, eat the same thing every day, go run on the same track or the same treadmill every day, go to work at the same job, you're going to have burnout. But in our personal lives, we recognize this and we make a change because we don't want that. But for some reason in the church, if something worked 50 or 20 years ago, we cling to that, even if it's not working. We do the programs and we wonder why they aren't working.
Yeah.
I think that what is important to stop the burnout is maintain a relationship with God, maintain the prayer life, maintain the Bible reading. And exactly what I'm growing to learn is the need-based ministry is never the same. The people change or the needs change no matter where you are. And the love doesn't change. If a church doesn't have a giving heart, pray for it during that personal devotional time and start on your own. It's okay to start on your own. and it motivates and inspires others, especially kids. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I've been a part of different sized church communities as well, from small to medium to large size churches. And a book that really helped me was called One Size Doesn't Fit All by Gary McIntosh. I think I started reading it because this was the first time I was part of a smaller church, and I was trying to understand the dynamics of the church and how we might become a healthier church community. But it was a great read because it helped me put into words what our church leadership needed to know to become even more hospitable and welcoming, because they already were. But I felt like, just like you're saying, sometimes people forget that we can continue to do what we need to do if we're doing it out of love. In our previous interview, we learned from Tim Floyd, our Kansas, Nebraska Youth and Young Adult Director and Growing Young Facilitator for the Mid-America Union, that the demographic that is leaving the church in a large number are within the 15 to 29 age range. Now, I know you're just outside that range, and I'm sure you have friends and family who fall into that category. What do you hear from them? What are you hearing? What do you share with them to keep them encouraged?
Well, that's an interesting question for me, because we don't have this age group in our church. As I said before, none of our groups, we have the kids, we have the above 30, we have the above 60. We don't have this age group, and that's sad. I think a lot of the different factors that play a role in these people leaving is like the life changes that happen at this time, college, career. There are some things that bring them back, like having kids of their own, wanting that that foundation for their own children and positive influence, or having a hardship or revival experience, and that draws them back into the church. This is very real. This is 15 is the age that our pathfinders start leaving us. I just heard last night that one of our pathfinders hasn't been coming because maybe it's a little boring, or maybe the kids are younger. He's one of the oldest ones. So that plays a big role, and it's sad, and we need to stop it. What I tell them, I don't tell them anything, actually. My husband stopped attending at this age. I think he stopped for about 18 months coming to church, and I never said a word to him. I went on my own with our kids. I loved him as if nothing were different, as if I was maybe going to the grocery store. I came home and loved him as if nothing was different, and eventually he came back to church. It wasn't through anything I did other than maybe praying for him. God did everything. He was a youth mentor for a couple of years for the Rocky Mountain Conference, and some of the kids that we grew close to there have also left. They're right in that demographic, and I don't preach to them. I only love them. I interact with them on social media, and I call them. I use apps to interact with them, and I treat them as if they're one of the kids that comes to church, and I think that's very important. And when love is genuine, it cuts through whatever emotions are tied up with the church. If they left because of hurt feelings, your love is going to shine through that. And it goes back to love. It cuts through all the nonsense of the world.
I like how you said that. Love cuts through all the nonsense. There's a lot of things that go on in life, and that's what I meant. I think because you are a blogger, your outreach extends beyond your city. And so I'm assuming that you have friends or family that that have the same issues that you have. And it sounds like you encourage them the same way you do those who are coming through your doors.
I hope so.
Even though we have these challenges, you provide some great ideas and tips for churches of all sizes to help create a healthy church community. I won't share all of them because we want our listeners to read your article when it comes out in the January issue of Outlook. And it will also be on our website at outlookmag.org. But what I took away from the article is that a healthy church community needs to be intentional in its interactions and authentic. I didn't hear you mention one thing about the pastor. So this is a lay member responsibility. Would you agree, or what's your thoughts on that?
I think it absolutely is the responsibility of the lay membership. We don't always have a pastor. Right now, our little church doesn't, and we're actually getting one soon. And any given church at our conference, the Iowa Missouri Conference, probably others as well, they may go up to a year between pastors. The love your church shows its members and its communities cannot be based on pastoral leadership, because it will die when the pastor is gone. And that's a risk that I don't think we should take as a church. If we want a thriving, loving church, we cannot wait for an energetic, motivated, loving pastor. We hope for that. Mm-hmm. We have to be that first. If we want that kind of church, we have to be that kind of church. Mm-hmm. And if we were, maybe the pastor burnout would be less. That is also a huge problem. And I think it's probably also because of churches unable to grow and thrive without a pastor.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that. It, as we look forward to reading your article, it gives some great tips and ideas for churches of all sizes to create this healthy church experience. And you give some great, interesting thoughts on that. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience today?
I would encourage anyone listening that if there is something that they want to do in their church or with the support of their church, or hopefully ignite energy within their church and love, to just do it. You don't need a board approval to invite someone to your home and open the Bible with them. You just don't. We wait for someone to give us permission, and you don't need it. God gives you permission. Share your love, share God's love. And that's where it's at. That's just what I encourage everyone.
Well, thank you so much. That's some practical advice that we can all use to, in our own spiritual life, as well as to encourage our church families. Thank you for joining us today, Rachel. Thank you for sharing your perspectives with us each week on OutlookMag.org. I look forward to our audience reading your article, Faith and Fellowship, What's the Best Way to Create a Healthy Church Community? And hopefully gain some inspiration for creating a healthy church community in their churches and their environments in 2020. Until then, you can read Rachel's blog each week at OutlookMag.org for tips and perspectives for families of all ages. And we look forward to you picking up Outlook Mag and also visiting our website. You can visit us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Outlook Mag. And we look forward to the Lord blessing you and what you do for him in service. Rachel, why don't we have prayer? And I'd like to pray for you and your ministry and what you do at your church.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for servant leaders like Rachel, who are looking forward to spreading the gospel in her own church as well as those on online. We thank you for blessing those she works with in her church. We thank you for the love that they share. We thank you for what they continue to do without their pastor currently. But we know that you will provide the right shepherd for that flock. But Lord, even before he comes, we pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint the members there to continue in fervent work for you. We pray for her family and all that she does day in and day out. And we pray that you will continue to bless us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Rachel. We look forward to seeing you online, and we look forward to reading your article in the January issue of Outlook.
Thanks, Hugh.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, I hope you were able to get more connected with two authors from the January issue of Outlook magazine and gain a better outlook on how to create a healthy church environment. But before you go, let me share a few other items you will find in the January issue. Our own Gary Thurber shares some perspectives on who's pushing your swing, as it relates to our relationship with Christ. This issue also shares some reports and data from the Mid-America Union year-end meetings that took place in November of 2019. In addition, we will welcome a new writer for Outlook, but not new to the pages of print or the pulpit. Dr. Seth Pierce is currently serving as an assistant communication professor at Union College, and in his monthly column, he'll be analyzing current issues. In our news section, you will learn who has transitioned out of our territory, as well as who has transferred into our territory. You will read about mission trips, our schools, trainings, volunteer work, ordinations. You'll be inspired by how ministries are changing lives and new ministries are coming alive. There are also updates from Union College and how our healthcare institutions are making the right arm of the gospel practical in the lives of their patients and staff. You will definitely be inspired and gain a new outlook on how the Lord is working in the Mid-America Union Territory. Look for your January issue in the mail soon, or visit our website at outlookmag.org. You can also visit us on social media for inspiring posts and messages on Facebook and Instagram at Outlook Mag, or on Twitter at My Outlook Mag. This has been Hugh Davis, your digital media manager for the Mid-America Union, and this has been the Outlook Magazine podcast. Be blessed.